frogs in the fountain. Marigolds grow almost everywhere in our beautiful country, and they are in demand at marriages. I'm also wary of these welcoming garlands because on one occasion, a sleeping bee, nestling between the petals, flew out and stung me under my chin. It made for a very short speech. When I told young Zan about this incident, he asked, "Is that how you got your double chin?" Actually, the double chin came from my grandmother, who was a large, generously proportioned lady with a number of chins. Zan and his sister Shiza liked to play with my double chin, but I would never have dared touch my old granny on her chin or anywhere else. She was a stern, reserved woman who believed that little boys should speak only when spoken to. She fed us reasonably well. She kept a great Khansama, but she did not believe in second helpings, with the result that I have spent the rest of my life indulging in second helpings. Two mutton koftas were all that I was allowed with my plate of rice. I liked koftas, still do, and it was painful for a small boy to have to stop at two. Now that I am a grown man with an independent source of income, I help myself to four. Who can stop me? Dr. Anwar, who drops in to see me once a year, remarked that I looked overweight and that I should cut down on my food intake. "What did you have for lunch?" he asked. "Kofta curry and rice." "How much rice?" "Just two small helpings." "And how many koftas?" "Only four." "Don't have more than two," he advised. "Yes, granny," I said. Dr. Anwar gave me a puzzled look. "Sorry," I said. "I thought you were my grandmother. Now he thinks I've got Alzheimer's." Talking of marigolds, Granny surrounded her house with them, as she believed they kept snakes away. Apparently, snakes do not like their pungent aroma. I too believed in this folklore until I was told by an expert on reptiles that snakes do not have a strong sense of smell and would be impervious to the scent of flowers or other odors. Maybe so, but I don't recall ever seeing a snake in Granny's garden, although I did see them elsewhere. However, we did have plenty of frogs. Thanks to the disused fountain installed by my grandfather but neglected after his death, the fountain hadn't functioned for a couple of years. But the little reservoir in which it stood had filled up with rainwater and was now covered with water lilies. One day, after an expedition to the canal headwork, I brought home some small fish in a bucket and introduced them to the lily pond. I hadn't paid much attention to the tadpoles swimming around in the bucket. Well, the fish died as they were used to fresh running water and not stagnant water. But the tadpoles did very well, and before long, we had frogs leaping all over the place. Very soon, the frogs multiplied. They would come into the veranda at night and keep us awake with their incessant singing and warbling. "I can't sleep a wink," complained Aunt Mabel, who was sensitive to noise and allergic to choirs made up entirely of bass singers. "They're serenading you," I said. It was a long time since anyone had serenaded Aunt Mabel, a confirmed spinster in her early 40s. "They'll go away once the rains finish," said Gran hopefully, but they did not go away. One day, screams came from the bathroom, Aunt Mabel screaming for help. Granny, the Khansama, and I ran to her aid and discovered that the cause of her distress was a large frog swimming around in the potty. I pulled the flush chain. There was a loud gurgling sound, a combination of frog and flush, and out jumped the frog straight into Aunt Mabel's arms. She left for Lahore that day, saying she would be safer in a zoo where her cousin was the superintendent. Well, Granny hired some laborers to empty the lily pond and round up as many frogs as they could. They were put into baskets and taken to some mysterious destination. "Perhaps they've been exported to China," I mused, "or even to France. They eat frogs there, don't they?" "Only the legs," said Granny. But they hadn't been exported. The Khansama told me later that the baskets had been opened and dumped near a pond behind the railway station. And before long, they were all over the station waiting rooms and platforms until the station master had a brilliant idea. He had the frogs rounded up by a number of street urchins who wanted to make a little pocket money. He then had them packed firmly into several well-ventilated boxes. The crates were labeled to Lahore Zoo Superintendent Sahib and dispatched as a free gift. A zoo is the best place for creatures great and small, opined our philosophical station master, who had previously sent them a consignment of stray station dogs.